Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, January 14th, Pope Francis encourages journalists to do their job well even when it makes others uncomfortable. Honduran church leaders condemn the murder of an indigenous activist, and Catholics in Myanmar pray for an end to the violence rupturing their country. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis has sent a brief letter to Rome-based journalist Javier Martinez Brocal, who recently photographed the Pope leaving a record store in Rome. The Pope encouraged reporters to fulfill their journalistic vocation, even if it makes others uncomfortable. Robin Gomes has the story.
What I miss most in this diocese is not being able to wander the streets as I did in Buenos Aires, walking from one parish to another. Pope Francis made this remark in a letter to Spanish journalist Javier Martinez Brocal, the director of the news website Rome Reports. On January 11th, the reporter was passing through Rome's Pantheon area and saw the Pope leaving Stereo Sound, a record store whose owners he had known since his days as the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. The black and white photo of the Pope exiting the disc store of the Pantheon, as local Romans call the locale, carrying a classical music record given to him by the owner of the store and her daughter, went viral on social networks within minutes. The Pope himself saw the photo and thanked Brocal for this noble post. At the same time, he wrote, "One cannot deny that it was a misfortune that after taking all the precautions, there was a journalist waiting for someone at the cab stop." The Pope immediately clarified in his letter that this remark was a light-hearted joke. "We must not lose our sense of humor," he wrote. He also encouraged reporters to fulfill their vocation, even if it means embarrassing the Pope. Pope Francis is no stranger to out-on-the-town trips, having visited an optician in 2015 and then an orthopedic store in 2016. He had ventured out late Tuesday afternoon to the music store in the heart of Rome to bless the recently renovated premises. He also chatted for about 10 minutes with the owner, an old acquaintance of his from his pre-pontificate days when he would visit Rome as the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. I am Robin Gomes.
The Office for Liturgical Celebrations of the Supreme Pontiff announced on Friday that the Pope will preside over Vespers on Tuesday, January 25th, to close the week of prayer for Christian unity. The celebration will take place at the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls on the Solemnity of the Conversion of St. Paul. The week of prayer for Christian unity is being marked this year under the theme, "We saw a star in the east, and we came to worship him." Pope Francis was unable to preside over the 2021 event due to a flare-up in his sciatica. In Honduras, the murder of an indigenous leader and environmental activist has been forcefully condemned by the local Catholic Church and by an ecumenical coalition. The faith-based organizations are calling on a prompt investigation into the crime and for protection of rights activists, as Linda Bordoni reports.
Pablo Isabel Hernandez was shot in the back by unidentified gunmen while he was on his way to church, where he was an active pastoral agent. The young leader of the Lenca people was well known for his environmental activism and his faith. Decrying the murder, a statement by the Churches and Mining Network, which focuses on the effects of mining on local communities and the environment, was released on the 10th of January, the day after Hernandez was ambushed as he travelled to a local church with family members in the municipality of San Marcos de Caiquín. CELAM, the Episcopal Conference of Latin America, and REMAM, the Mesoamerican Ecological Network, also issued statements of condemnation. They described Hernandez as a man of God who loved his family, loved his people, and respected and fought for the protection of our common home. Pablo was an outspoken critic of municipal officials and had received threats which he made public. His radio station had also been sabotaged. He's the second Lenca leader killed in less than a year. According to a survey in 2021, violent incidents against some 208 human rights activists and 93 journalists were recorded in Honduras, of which 10 were murders of human rights defenders. CELAM, REMAM and the Ecumenical Network have asked for an investigation into this vile crime, that those who are responsible be persecuted, and for the protection of all social movement, environmental, and human rights activists in Honduras. I'm Linda Bordoni.
In Myanmar, the Catholic Bishop of Mandalay is calling on Catholics in the country and around the world to pray for an end to the surge in violence gripping the Asian nation. Francesca Merlo has the details.
Archbishop Marco Tin Nguyen of Mandalay has invited all Catholics, clergy, religious and laity to join him in praying for Myanmar, torn apart by COVID-19, hunger, civil war and torture. In recent days, the prelate has called on the faithful every Saturday evening for an hour of adoration and urged them to celebrate the Eucharist on the first Sunday of every month with the intention of peace. Archbishop Tin Nguyen urged people not to lose hope and to have faith in God amid the fear, anxiety and despair gripping the country. Intense fighting between the military junta and rebel forces has taken place in recent months in the predominantly Christian Kayachin and Karen states, where civilians have been forced to leave their homes and flee seeking refuge in church institutions. The political, economic and social freedoms that had begun to blossom in 2011 after more than 50 years of military rule were abruptly interrupted by the military coup last February, which gave rise to unrest and a deep social crisis. Fighting against civilians and pro-democracy protesters led to more than 1,000 deaths and more than 10,000 people being detained. When will decades of civil war in Myanmar come to an end? Asked Cardinal Charles Bo, Archbishop of Yangon, in his appeal launch on the 26th of December. When will we be able to enjoy true peace, justice and freedom? When will we stop killing each other? Deborah Comini, UNICEF's Regional Director for East Asia and the Pacific, also condemned last week's killings of at least 4 children and the wounding of many others as a result of the violence in the country. UNICEF reiterated that it was deeply concerned about the escalation of the conflict in the country and condemned the use of airstrikes and heavy weapons in civilian areas. We are particularly outraged by the attacks on children that have occurred during this escalation of fighting across the country, Comini said, adding that the parties to the conflict must treat the protection of children as a top priority and take all necessary actions to ensure that children are kept out of the fighting and that communities are not used as targets. This, she concluded, is required by international humanitarian law and the Convention on the Rights of the Child, to which Myanmar is a signatory. I'm Francesca Merlo.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has warned that a nightmare is unfolding in Afghanistan. Speaking to reporters in New York, he said freezing temperatures and frozen assets are a lethal combination for the Afghan people. 2 days after launching the largest humanitarian appeal ever for a single country, he noted that the world was racing against time to help the Afghan people. Here's UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
A few words on the nightmare unfolding in Afghanistan. We are in a race against time to help the Afghan people. Just 2 days ago, the United Nations launched our largest ever humanitarian appeal for a single country. And the scale of that appeal reflects the scale of the despair. Babies being sold to feed their siblings, freezing health facilities, overflowing with malnourished children, people burning their possessions to keep warm. Livelihoods across the country have been lost. And more than half the population of Afghanistan now depends on life-saving assistance. This situation, without a more concerted effort from the international community, will make that virtually every man, woman and child in Afghanistan could face acute poverty. And all of this is happening, of course, amid a global pandemic. Our humanitarian and refugee response plans require more than $5 billion this year. The assistance is essential to ramp up life-saving food and agricultural support, health services, treatment for malnutrition, emergency shelter, water and sanitation, protection and emergency education. The United Nations in Afghanistan stands ready to work with member states and others to put in place accountable systems that will enable funds to reach the Afghan people most in need and to ensure that these funds are not diverted. And as I appeal to the international community to step up support for the people of Afghanistan, I make an equally urgent plea to the Taliban leadership to recognize and protect fundamental human rights, and in particular, the rights of women and girls.
That was UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres on the situation in Afghanistan. At the start of the year, Poland took over the chair of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. The OSCE held its first meeting of the year in Vienna on Thursday, which was attended by Poland's foreign minister and the Vatican's permanent observer to the organization. Monsignor Janusz Urbanczyk highlighted the importance of protecting religious freedom in order to preserve peace in Europe. Lisa Zengarini has more.
As Poland takes over the chair of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, the Holy See has encouraged the new chairmanship to keep its focus on protecting freedom of religion. The Polish Foreign Minister, Zbigniew Rau, outlined Poland's priorities at a special session of the OSCE Permanent Council in Vienna on Thursday. Speaking at the meeting was also the Vatican Permanent Observer to the OSCE, who expressed the Holy See's hope that close attention will be devoted to the growing intolerance and discrimination against Christians, Jews, Muslims and members of other religions. Archbishop Urbanczyk remarked that such phenomena not only constitute a violation of religious freedom, but can trigger violence and conflicts on a wider scale, thereby threatening the security and peace in the OSCE area. The Vatican representative also welcomed Poland's commitment to building consensus in the organization, which he said requires a willingness to listen and to take in due consideration the arguments of all participant states. The Vatican Observer concluded reminding with Pope Francis' words that peace is both a gift from on high and the fruit of a shared commitment to which different institutions of society contribute. I am Lisa Zengarini.
And finally, the Vatican's Dicastery for Laity, Family and Life is exploring the contributions people with disabilities make to the life of the Church. The fourth of five videos was released today in the hashtag IAmChurch series entitled We and Not They. In the video, Jesuit Father Justin Glenn reflects on his condition of near blindness. Here's a clip from Father Justin.
Since I was born, I have been legally blind. I get a little bit of vision from the telescopes I wear, but the world has always been a blur for me. And most of my information about it comes from what I hear. My limits have their downsides, but have also come with their own blessings. Not seeing very much has helped me develop a good memory. This has been very useful practicing law and studying theology, but has also worked well with my love of languages and music. Especially as a priest, I have found that having a disability is a good reminder that all of us are limited. I do not come to people thinking I have all the answers, but I'm well aware that we are all dependent on one another. It reminds me that we are not called to perfection as individuals. No, all of us are called to share with each other the limited, wounded nature, which we believe Christ came to share with us and unite with his own. Our limits are not misfortunes or punishments, but a part of the secret of being human beings who each share the image of God in our own way, and together build up the body of Christ.
Thanks there to Jesuit Father Justin Glenn. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.